Gospel, taken from St. John, chapter 20. At that time, when it was late that same day, the first of the week, though the doors where the disciples gathered had been closed for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced at the sight of the Lord. He therefore said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." When he had said this, he breathed upon them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Ghost. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them, and whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the doors being closed, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Bring here thy finger, and see my hands, and bring here thy hand, and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen, and yet have believed." Many other signs also Jesus worked in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. For those of you who may not know me, my name is Father Jeremy Saunders. I'm happy to be visiting today from Ontario, Canada. Ontario, geographically, is my church is about 2.5 hours from Detroit, Michigan, just a little ways over the border, straight north of Ohio. And like most priests, I travel a fair bit, traveling to say Mass in various places. And one of the places that I travel to on a regular basis is Quebec City. Very interesting place, a tremendous amount of Catholic history. As a matter of fact, Quebec was the first official parish in all of North America. But just outside Quebec, about 30 kilometers away, 18 miles or so, there is a beautiful church called St. Anne de Beaupré. And St. Anne its history goes back even longer than the parish of Quebec City. In 1658, the first chapel was built there to St. Anne. And that was in gratitude, and if I remember, in fulfillment of a vow, of some sailors from France who were at risk in the St. Lawrence River. The St. Lawrence, Quebec City is built right along the St. Lawrence, and they were in a storm and at risk of perishing, and they called on St. Anne. They were from Brittany, I believe, where there's a very strong devotion to St. Anne, Our Lady's mother. And they called on her for her aid, and she helped them. They reached shore safely, and they built the first chapel to St. Anne in that location. And in that same year, 1658, when the chapel had just been built, was the first miraculous cure. And the cures have continued down through the centuries. Now, at that location, there is a very large and very beautiful basilica, a place of much pilgrimage, and as you go into the basilica, you see many, many crutches hung on the walls or on the pillars, testaments to the aid that St. Anne has given to those who have come confidently seeking her help and the help of her grandson. And we see this many places in the world, many sites of pilgrimage. You'll see canes and crutches, ex votos, the plaques donated in memory of favors received. And it is a great testament to the confidence those faithful Catholics had in the help of Almighty God and in the intercession of his saints. And it is about confidence that I want to primarily speak today. Confidence in God and faith as the foundation of that confidence. Today's epistle and gospel are all about faith. We read of St. Thomas the Apostle, and his doubt, in spite of all the miracles that our Lord had shown, in spite of the clear evidence. And that makes a fascinating study and sermon in itself, the tremendous historical evidence for for the existence of our Lord, the miracles he worked, absolutely an incredible amount when you compare it to other historical sources, overwhelming amount of evidence. But I wanted to speak about faith as the foundation of that confidence that we have in God. Faith is the first virtue, the foundation that lays the baseline for all the other virtues. And what is faith? By faith, we believe firmly, certainly, in all that God has revealed as part of his public revelation. Those truths made known to us by Almighty God through his Son and up to the time of the death of the last apostle, St. John. And that faith gives us a certainty. It is in consonance with reason. It matches with reason. It is absolutely reasonable. And as a matter of fact, it is the reasonable thing to do, to have faith. But having seen that evidence, faith gives us our certainty because it comes from God, because those things are revealed by God, who cannot deceive nor be deceived. And likewise, faith is also a grace from Almighty God. Without God's grace, we wouldn't have that certainty of faith. And one of the important things when we think about confidence in God is, what are we confident for? It often happens that people say, well, I didn't get what I prayed for. Or why doesn't God hear me? Why doesn't God hear my prayers? We know that God does hear our prayers. We also know that God will answer good prayers. Our Lord said, whatsoever you ask in my name will be given to you. He said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. He didn't say, ask and I might help you out, or seek and maybe you'll find me. No, ask and you shall receive. But it's important that we have a proper conception of what we want to receive. As Christians, we ought to have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. St. Paul says, let that mind be in you, which also was in Christ. And what were our Lord's priorities? What were the things that were important to him? What was that mindset that we should share with him? Where our Lord said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. We are not here to live here. We are here to get to heaven. We're not here just for this life. Actually, we're not here at all for this life, except as a means to an end, a road to where we're going. As St. Paul says, keep yourselves as pilgrims and travelers in this world. And in order to appreciate God's graces and cooperate well with God, we have to have that supernatural outlook. We have to see that God's first interest is our salvation. God wants our spiritual good. God wants us to be happy with him forever in heaven. And in that lies the key to a lot of the difficulties and things we might not understand in our life. It is not about this world. And if it is this world that we are seeking, well, then we may not find it. Or we may find it with all of its suffering and sin and disappointment. It is not constant pleasure. It is not wealth. It is not even always peace in this world that our Lord promised to give us if we seek for it, but eternal life, union with Almighty God. And if we seek that, we will find it. And if we ask for sanctity, we will receive it. And if we knock at Christ's door asking to be like him, asking to be holy, asking to succeed in avoiding sin, he will answer. It is not merely the things of this world that our Lord wants to give us, but joy that is going to last forever. And if that is what we seek for, then we can and we must have absolute confidence in Almighty God. And this is where faith comes in. By faith we know, and by reason we know, that God is absolutely powerful. By faith we know that he desires our salvation. By faith we know that he loves us. He proves it to us by his crucifixion and death on the cross. And so we have a complete certainty that an almighty, all-loving God desires our salvation and is ready and willing to help us. And so we must have that complete and absolute confidence in Almighty God. And that confidence must go hand in hand with humility. In order to have perfect confidence in God, we must have a true distrust of ourselves. We must see that without God, as St. Paul says, without Christ, I can do nothing. It is impossible to please God without him. It is impossible to have a supernatural life without God. And so we must humbly and confidently go to him for all those things we need, for all those graces that we need. And we must always try to keep these things in perspective. It is easy in today's world to be discouraged, to think, oh, it's so hard to be Catholic. I have to drive so far to Mass. Or maybe I live somewhere where it's a small parish, or I get Mass once a month. Maybe I've lost friends. Maybe I've lost a job. Maybe I have troubles in my family. It's so difficult. And yes, being Catholic today brings its crosses, but it always has. Anyone who wants to love what is true and do what is good has always faced difficulty and opposition. And we should not be surprised. Look at our Lord. Completely perfect, completely innocent. He never did anything wrong. Not one single thing, not one single mistake, nothing even remotely close to sin. And look how his life went. We must embrace our crosses, and we must love the sufferings that God gives us. It is hard, St. Paul says, to kick against the goad. If you're fighting the very things that God gives you to get to heaven, it's an unpleasant life. But if we look at things from God's perspective and realize that he allows our crosses because he loves us, and that is the answer, oftentimes that is the answer to our prayers. We want to become holier. We want to become better. God allows our crosses to help us to do that, along with all of the good things in our life, the joys, the sorrows, the happy times, the successes, whatever it is. St. Paul says, for those who love God, all things work together for good. And I think that it is especially a ploy of the devil in our day and age to tempt us to discouragement, to be disheartened, to be overwhelmed by evil in the world. But we must not give way to that temptation. We ought to be the most confident, the most joyful people that anyone ever meets, because we are the only people who have real grounds for that confidence and joy. Those who do not have God, they never know. They do not have certainty of having what they need. They do not have certainty that God will help them if they do not even believe in him. So we must not let discouragement or frustration or disappointment get to us. We have to keep our eyes fixed on heaven. And that's the goal. Keep your eyes fixed on heaven. That's what made the martyrs joyful through their sufferings with the grace of God. And we must remember that our true home and our true happiness is in heaven. If we put it in this world, we will always be disappointed. But if we put our confidence in God, if we humbly ask him for what we need, and if we seek with a perfect heart only God, then we will never be disappointed. And you can be absolutely assured that God will assist you. God will help you in this world and lead you on to eternal happiness in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.